Well, good morning, Living Word Church. It's my privilege to be preaching to you from my guest room in my house in Coopville. I've never done this before, obviously. But hey, this is what we're living with COVID and the pandemic, and now with a snow weekend. So it is my privilege to be able to share with you today. Last Advent season, one of the things that Ann and I did at the dinner table is we read through a book that featured little snippets of readings from Max Lucado's writings. Max Lucado is a very famous Christian author and pastor. And one of the readings for Advent, Lucado is writing about how he's sitting in his office at his church. And while working on a sermon, he's looking out the window and he sees some squirrels running around on the tree, doing the things that squirrels do. And it hit him as he was watching those squirrels that those squirrels might occasionally look through the window and see him in his office, but they would have no idea what he was doing. Their little squirrel brains and their little squirrel understanding would have no way to comprehend the higher level thinking that Max was doing, the reasoning and the thinking and all the stuff he was doing to prepare sermons or meet and counsel with people. They just would have no way of understanding. Why? Because they're squirrels. And he used that in this little Advent book to just remind us what an amazing thing, what a fantastic thing it was that Jesus, God in the flesh, became a human. It would be similar to what it would be like for Max in his office if he wanted to try to communicate with the squirrels to actually become a squirrel. Now again, he was talking about the whole Advent story and the incarnation of God in human form. But I want to use that story today to kind of introduce this idea of prayer. We're in the Essentials message series. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Drew introduced this series by talking about faith. And if you were following along last week or at church, you heard Zach talk about the whole aspect of Scripture as essential in our faith. Well, I get to talk this week about prayer. And so I've been working on this for a few weeks, thinking, how do I, in 20 minutes or so, solve the mysteries of prayer or inspire you to pray more or help you understand some of the answers to the big questions about prayer? And I finally figured out I can't really do all those things. That would take writing long books, and I might not even be able to come up with good answers anyway. What I'm going to try to do this morning is, in the next 20 minutes or so, we're going to talk about one of Jesus' most essential teachings on prayer. I realize that there's no way I could cover all of the information about prayer. And I realize that anything that I would say, anything that any of us understand about prayer, is going to be limited because we're a little bit like squirrels trying to understand what Max Lucado was doing in his office. God's ways are so much beyond anything that we can comprehend that any idea that I might share with you is a bit like a squirrel trying to understand what a human is doing. But here's the thing. Here's where I find encouragement, is that even though God is so beyond us, we know one thing. That God did, in fact, he didn't become a squirrel, but God did become a human in the form of Jesus. And as Jesus walked the earth and as he interacted with his own Father and as he taught and as he did certain things and as he didn't do other things, his disciples watched everything he did. And what Jesus was doing was he was saying, you know, if you want to know God, if you want to know how God is interacting with the world, then look at me. And one of the things we know as we read through the Gospels is that Jesus thought prayer was very important. I mean, it doesn't take a theology degree to see how important prayer was to Jesus. If you just pay attention and you read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see Jesus spending a night in prayer before he chooses his disciples. You find him regularly escaping from all of the crowds and heading off into the wilderness. You see, sometimes he actually gets in a boat and goes across away from the crowds. He has this need to be quiet and still and spend time in prayer. Matthew chapter 4 tells us that Jesus actually went out at the beginning of his ministry and he spent 40 days praying and fasting. Prayer was a really important deal to Jesus, and his disciples saw this. I want to encourage you to look now in your Bibles or your devices, however you want to get there, to Luke chapter 11. Because right there, what we find is the disciples, from their time with Jesus, they understand how important prayer is to him. And so they ask Jesus a very important question. So Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. I'm reading from the English Standard Version today. Luke 11, chapter 1, verse 1. Now, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And Jesus very simply said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.'" That's it. The disciples said, "Jesus, teach us to pray." He gave them that prayer. Now, that's the version in Luke. You may be more familiar with the version in Matthew. That's a little bit longer and more like the Lord's Prayer that we pray. But this is the simplest version, and so this is where I wanted to go this morning. People have written long books about those six statements of prayer. Let's take just a few minutes to see what was Jesus getting at, and how can we use these six sentences, not as a rote prayer that we pray over and over and over again, but as a model and as a guide for a meaningful time of coming before God in prayer. So let's just take them one phrase at a time. He starts the prayer with this: "Father, hallowed be your name." Hallowed be your name. What does hallowed mean, or hallowed, depending on your background? Well, hallowed is an old word. We don't use it much unless we're saying Halloween. That's about as close as we get. That's from All Hallows Eve. And All Hallows Eve is revering Christian saints that have gone before. The whole thing is connected to an idea of reverence, of respect. It's honoring. So when we say, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name," what it's talking about is when we come to God, Jesus says, start with this attitude. It's an attitude of reverence. It's an attitude of respect. It's an attitude of awe, of understanding, God, you are God, and I am not. Now, around here, we have so many reminders around us about how awesome God is. You don't have to go very far if you're living on North Whidbey to be able to watch a sunrise or to watch a sunset or to see the waves on the ocean or to take a walk on a beach or even go on a trail in a forest to look across the water to the Olympic Mountains in their grandeur with snow on top. Even in the evening, to look up at the sky and see the Milky Way across and to look at the stars and to think about the fact that the light from those stars has taken thousands, millions of years to go across space and reach our eyeballs. Yes, God, you are God, and I am not. So we can think about God as this the amazing enormity of what he's created and the amazing power of the cosmos. That light hitting our eyeballs, though, reminds us of how awesome God is at the smallest level. The amazing complexity of the eyeball, where somehow it brings in data from our outside environment and transfers it into the brain, and the brain makes sense of all these electrical impulses, and it creates meaning for us so that we can walk through the world and not bump into things. I mean, this is one little thing. I think about stuff like this. God is awesome. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Jesus says, when you begin your prayer, come to God, hallowing him, revering him with a sense of awe. All right, the next phrase, your kingdom come. Again, here in Luke, that's all it says, your kingdom come. Here, Jesus instructs his followers to submit themselves before God, to say, hey, God, I want your ways to rule this planet. I want your ways to rule my life. And if I have to choose between your kingdom and my kingdom, if I have to choose between your kingdom and the kingdom of our nation, if I have to choose between your kingdom and anything, I choose your kingdom. I ask you, God, to make your kingdom come to this world. And if we're going to be praying that, then really what we're saying is, God, I want your kingdom come to earth, and also here I am. Because I want to be your hands and your feet. I want to help your kingdom come to earth. And going back to what Zach taught us last week, how do we know what God's ways are, what God's kingdom looks like? Well, as well as following the promptings of the Holy Spirit within us, we go to the scriptures. And there can be no better place than looking at the life and example and teachings of Jesus to know what God does and what God doesn't do, the way God wants to interact with people and the way he doesn't want us to interact with people. We look at Jesus and we say, your kingdom come. I want to be on your team. I want to help your kingdom come to this earth. The next phrase, give us each day our daily bread. Now, this reminds us as we come to God in prayer that we need God right now, in the present moment. We need God every day. We need his help. In most of our homes, we have plenty of food to get us through more than just one day. We have a pantry, we have a freezer, a fridge, and it's full of many days' worth of food. We don't really understand the concept or live with daily bread. But if we go back 2,000 years to the land where Jesus was living, the culture where he was living, we know, of course, they didn't have refrigerators or freezers. They didn't have plastic wrappers to keep things from going stale. They didn't have preservatives. So daily bread. If you wanted to have good bread, it needed to be made that day. And so to pray, dear God, give me my daily bread, is a prayer of dependence. And it's saying, God, I need you today. There's things happening today, and not just for food for my stomach, but God, I got things on my agenda. I got things that I'm doing, and I need your help to get through this day. And I'm putting myself before you, and I'm saying, God, I've got ideas, and I've got certain powers that I have and skills, but I'm really dependent on you, God, to provide what I need today. For some reason, through the whole pandemic, I have been doing a lot more kind of meditative prayer. And one of the first steps in meditative prayer is to just be quiet and still yourself. And one of the exercises is to just take a few moments or a couple minutes and think about your breathing. The fact that you're breathing in, your lungs are expanding, and you're breathing out. And to just let your concentration go on your breathing for a little while to still your mind and to make you quiet. I've been thinking a lot more this year about the amazing thing that not just is God providing my daily bread, but all through the day, all through the night, when I'm awake, when I'm asleep, when I'm working, when I'm playing, when I'm sitting and doing nothing, all of that time, God is providing for me the oxygen that goes in my lungs, that oxygenates my blood, which gives energy so that I can keep moving, I can keep thinking, I can keep existing. And God provides that oxygen over and over and over again. This idea that, dear God, provide for me my daily bread. We recognize our dependence upon Him, and we recognize how good He is to us, to over and over and over again provide what it is we need. So, give us each day our daily bread. The next two lines I'm going to put together because they're really two sides of one coin. Jesus said, then pray and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. First, when we come to God, we have to understand and remember we're human. We can have the best ideas and then the best ideals and the best motivation and try so hard to please God in everything we do, but we know we fail. And so we come, and just as Jesus said, say, God, forgive us our sins. It's part of this model prayer. It's part of approaching God to say, God, I recognize that I am imperfect. I recognize that not only do I fail even when I'm trying to do the right thing, sometimes I fail on purpose. Sometimes I just make choices to sin and to leave the life that you would want me to have. And so in this model prayer, Jesus says, part of it is to say, God, forgive me my sins. But he goes on from there, the other side of that coin is to say, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. So God, forgive my sins because I'm also involved in forgiving the people around me. Forgiveness is not easy. And forgiveness is not a one-off thing. If you've been hurt, when I think of the times that I've been hurt in my life, I can make the decision to forgive someone one day, and next day I need to forgive them again. Even if they haven't hurt me again, I have to go back and I need to say, God, give me the heart that you have for me, for these other people. And help me to see that they are just like I am. They are sinners. They fail. They may have the best intentions to do things right and still mess things up. Give me, God, your heart for the people that I'm interacting with, and help me, God, to forgive them the way you have forgiven me. This part of the model prayer keeps us humble. It keeps us before God, and it keeps us in good relationship with the other squirrels around us, right? We realize I'm really like a squirrel before an almighty God. God, forgive my sins as I forgive the sins of those around me. Then Jesus concludes this model prayer with this last phrase. And lead us not into temptation. Here once again, bringing back the whole squirrel metaphor, we recognize our squirrelness. We're tempted over and over to trade in the best things of life, the best ways that God has shown for us and that he's calling us toward, to trade those in for cheap imitations. We are tempted to chase after things that satisfy our lusts rather than the things that will satisfy our souls. We're tempted to simply follow our own human urges rather than allow God to empower us from the inside out for a greater, more meaningful life. I've always loved this quote from C.S. Lewis. He wrote this in his book, The Weight of Glory. He said, "It would seem that our Lord finds our desires are not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea." And he finishes with this sentence, "We are far too easily pleased." Oh God, lead us not into temptation. When we pray, we remember our weakness. We remember how easily pleased we are with things that just won't satisfy us and our need for God's power in our lives. So there you have it. "Teach us to pray," the disciples said, and Jesus responded with 6 simple sentences. And I like that because I can really make things complicated. I've got all sorts of questions about prayer. I've got questions about why does God answer certain prayers and not others, and why does God seem to sometimes answer the tiniest request of someone looking for a parking spot at Walmart, but doesn't seem to solve the larger problems of war and human trafficking and things like that. And I can get all bound up in my mind about prayer. When Jesus' disciples came to him directly and they said, "Teach us to pray," he kept it very simple with these 6 statements. And as I've been thinking about it this last few days, getting ready to share these thoughts with you, I realized that every single one of those 6 statements in this model prayer really can come under one heading. We can simplify it even more to this one little sentence with 4 words in it. God, I need you. Every part of this model prayer reminds us to come to God and say, "God, I need you. You're my Father in heaven. I'm the squirrel. I'm your child here on earth. I want your kingdom, and I need the ways of your kingdom, not mine. And God, I recognize only you can supply my daily needs, my moment-by-moment needs. God, I need your forgiveness. God, I need your power within me to forgive others. And God, left on my own, I'm going to fall into temptation. I need your help with that." If you want to pray like Jesus taught, it all starts with recognizing your dependence upon God for everything. Without that sense of dependence upon God, I'm really not sure if we'll ever get anywhere in our prayer lives. God, we need you. Well, again, there's so much more I could say about the thorny questions that plague us about prayer and all the different methods that there might be and different aspects of prayer. But I just wanted to start with this essential prayer that Jesus gave us. These 6 simple statements that can give us a guide to follow for a meaningful time of prayer with God every day. But what I think is even more important than me thinking about and writing about and now telling you about prayer, what's even more important than you listening to all these ideas about prayer, is for us to actually put this into practice. And so what we're going to do over the next few minutes is we're going to actually go through this model prayer. And I'm going to be guiding your way through it, idea by idea, so that we can actually experience together what it means to pray like Jesus taught. As we come into this time of prayer, I invite you to just sit in a comfortable position, wherever you're at, and it helps me, maybe it will help you, to just put your hands on top of your legs with the palms up in an expression and a posture of openness to God. And I encourage you to now just gently close your eyes And take a couple of deep breaths. Breathe in and breathe out. As you breathe in, invite the love of God to fill you. And as you breathe out any anxiety, any stress you're feeling right now. Breathe in God's peace. Breathe in His Spirit. Welcome Him. Let's begin. Our Father, hallowed be your name. We revere you, God. We are in awe of you. We think about your creation. From our bodies to the wonders of nature to the cosmos. Hallowed be your name. We revere you and we honor you. We recognize you are God and we are not. Your kingdom come. Let God know that you want to be a part of bringing His kingdom ways to our earth, to our world, to our community. Let God know that you lay down the ways of your own kingdom, your own plans, your own agendas. As you say, God, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. God, you know what we need right now, today. You know what's going to happen to us later today, better than we do ourselves. For all the things in your life, would you say to God, God, I trust you. You're the one who can provide what I need. Today and every day. Even as you provide each breath I'm breathing right now. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. I invite you to search your heart and allow God to search your heart and confess your sins to Him. God, we're grateful that you forgive us our sins. And we know that you call us to forgive those around us. There might be someone's name or someone's face that comes right to your mind now. Can you offer that person to God and say, God, I forgive them, or I want to forgive them, or I'm trying to forgive them. Hand them over to God.
and lead us not into temptation. God, help us to follow your better ways, to not be too easily pleased with cheap imitations of your goodness and your love. And express to God your desire to not fall into temptation. Ask for his power, for the power of his Spirit within you to overcome the common temptations that drag you down. Amen.
I hope that was a meaningful time for you, and that maybe you can incorporate that into your own personal devotions or personal prayer time each morning or evening. I want to just close with a verse that is really my favorite verse in the Bible, and I come back to it over and over again. Jesus described why he came to earth, why he taught everything he taught, why he did everything he did. He says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly." May you taste and see that this life with Christ is indeed good. And may you live an abundant life full of rich and meaningful communication with God our Father and with Jesus his Son through the prayer that he's invited us into. May you enjoy more of God this week as you use this essential tool of prayer.